Welcome to the future as it unfolds under the New World Order. This is the continued fight in the American people versus the New World Order at Patriot with a Pen. This isn't strictly a local issue, not here in my county, my state, my country, the United States of America. It is a worldwide issue, which is why I come to the World Wide Web to broadcast, because it allows for anybody to interact. Guys, we got another caller here, Vincent Eastwood out of New Zealand. I'd like to bring him on just to add his perspective. Of course, American politics, New World Order, New Zealand. This is a roundtable. Take us where you'd like. Vincent, you're live with Patriot with Pen. How you doing, man?
I'm doing somewhat frickin' fabulous. Thank you for asking.
Excellent.
I certainly love living in a slave state nation set up by the international cartel known as the Queen of England.
Lovely.
Yeah, well, I've got my own radio show at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We broadcast on American Freedom Radio's network all around the world. We've got Ireland and the UK and all of these people also broadcasting my show. And the cool thing is, guys, I've found that every single country's got patriots in them, right?
Absolutely.
So patriots everywhere. There's no beating us.
There's New World Order everywhere, is that right? How's the New World Order feeling for you guys there across the pond? What are you guys doing about it?
What am I doing about it is probably the more operative word. As far as Truth or Patriot Radio, that kind of thing in New Zealand, I'm it. it's a bit of a sad state of affairs that there's just so many plutocracy, kleptocracy, scumbaggery types running the country, including a former Merrill Lynch employee, our current Prime Minister, John Key. He worked for the Federal Reserve for 2 years in charge of derivatives, and in my opinion, one of the instrumental figures in generating the 1.4 quadrillion of derivatives that are currently destroying the world's economy. So when we talk about New Zealand and we talk about the New World Order, we're right nestled in closely like a pair of ball sacks.
Actually, loads of that all over the world as they continue to attempt to globally entertain us all in this overall scheme that the one world government, the new world order, however you look at it, and just as you explained, we're trading these old white hairs as playing cards. And we're expecting that in some way, shape, or form, things are going to change. And that's why I support the revolution, not of the United States government, not of the world. I support a revolution of the people and their thinking about themselves and what team they're on. So that's why we're doing what we're doing here, because it helps to spread interest. It helps to just to see somebody else doing it. Helps to spread interest in the idea, and that's why I love the radio platform. As far as New Zealand is concerned and overseas, I know we catch a very bad rap here in the United States of America as far as what a revelation we made on the show a couple shows ago. I think, Rick, you were the one that pointed it out to me. We're not spreading freedom throughout the America, throughout the world, like Americans like to believe that our just cause is in starting all of these wars, etc. What we're ultimately leaving behind is something worse, and the opportunity for America to either continue to capitalize or to create a new scenario to capitalize, which gives us quite the bad rap. But we're not the only ones involved. Everybody else is involved as well. And I was just wondering, do you believe that the people of New Zealand are doing any more than we are here in America to stop this threat?
Well, when you talk about per capita, it's strange, because we've got a lot of activists here, and I bring them all on my radio show. I've come up with, almost 10 guests a week at this point. But the interesting thing is, no matter which direction you look, no matter what issue, no matter whether it's the New World Order signing you into a trade deal like NAFTA or GATT, which we've got coming on here, they call it the TPPA, or I call it the tipper point. And Without question, there's resistance going on in every single way. My thoughts are that it's no different from all the rest of the countries in the world, because they're absolutely, absolutely locked into the death grip of the New World Order, just like New Zealand. So therefore, it's just as likely to assume that with similar brainwashing techniques, similar additives to their food, and similar suppressions on their rights, that people in every country would act in a similar patriotic anti-New World Order way. Now, this brings up an interesting point. Like, if the New World Order envisioned a resistance against them, and it's pretty obvious that they must have because they're not idiots, they're just evil, then has this all been anticipated? And some people are saying, well, they probably have anticipated it all, so there's no point fighting. And I say, well, if that, look, death, slavery, rape is not a fabulous way to go, in my opinion. And so everybody, everywhere, needs to resist as hard as they possibly can. And the way that I resist is I'm a propagandist. I make sure that there's plenty of propaganda going over the airwaves, and so that the people who don't have a voice, like the activists and researchers in my country that the mainstream media ignores, have a platform to speak about whatever topics they want to speak about. And some of them I don't agree with, but hey, everybody deserves a say, and if mainstream media is all we've got, then we need to be act just like they do and just make something up and just make our own radio stations. You know?
One more question, and then I'll pop back over to Rick here as well. I've been called multiple times on my radio show an extreme protectionist, and I don't see any other way to go. And you say, let's know that this is wrong, as you pointed out, and then resist as hard as we can, because inherent, but being the moral individuals we are that end up at a place like patriotwithapen.com or over at your website there as well, Vincent Eastwood, the Vinny Eastwood Show, he threw the link up in our chat room for us, .com. That we need to resist as hard as we can. Would you say that that would be a like-minded or just a regurgitation of what you just said, that it's time for us all throughout the world to start with an interest in our own country rather than an interest in what any other country is doing? Do you see that as dangerous with a situation such as, say, Israel and Palestine going on, et cetera, et cetera? Do you think that's dangerous to the world state of affairs? Being that nukes are involved, et cetera, et cetera. So this is where I get a lot of my competition. I was just wondering your perspective. And again, then we'll hop right back over to Rick there.
Well, clearly it's a dangerous situation anyway, because the difficulty becomes, okay, we've got a dangerous situation going on globally, and this is being enforced by supranational forces. So it means that our governments are irrelevant. Okay, our governments are absolutely irrelevant. They've been irrelevant for a very, very long time. And the only thing that is relevant now and has always been relevant is the will of the people. And the only way that they've been able to subvert the will of the people is by coercing our thought processes with all this programming that we see on the media. So therefore, I think we need to kind of seize control of that programming mechanism and start doing deprogramming instead. Now, the danger that we have with the international forces in play here is that basically they'll be able to react to every patriot everywhere simultaneously, conceivably, right? So therefore, we want to adopt a tactic, okay? Tactical resistance to the New World Order. My favorite tactic is the tactic of the cactus, where you cover yourself with spines, so no matter where your enemy hits you, they're going to get pricked. And that's basically what everybody has already facilitated. You know, you see radio stations and shows pop up all over the world. And every time that they do, you'll be surprised, well, actually, you probably wouldn't be surprised, that they get a shockingly large amount more listeners per day than mainstream media does. In fact, they're losing all their listenership. They're losing all their viewers. The Total Gym, Chuck Norris's effing Total Gym commercial gets more viewers than Fox News. news on prime time, okay? Nobody gives a flying if what the mainstream media are saying anymore. They are full of crap, all right? And everybody knows it. And now we have the evidence to prove that they're full of crap and that everybody knows it. So what the hell are we waiting for, okay? People talk about timing, and I say the time is and always has been right now. There's only one moment, and it's this one. What are you going to do about it?
Rob said it. People are waking up. Rick, what do you think?
Absolutely. I love what he just went out there on.
Rob from the chat room. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rick.
But, no, yeah, there is only one moment, and it is right now. This is – you got to just stop. You got to turn off the idiot box. I know I don't want to sound like Justin, but you just got to – Financially, I lost cable 2 years ago and just never really turned it back on, and that's when I was forced to go to the internet to see what's going on. And you turn that box off, and you're like, you start going, "Holy crap! This is what's going on." Like that's not what they told me. Everybody knows they're full of crap now, but it's starting to get time to what are we really going to do about it? I don't necessarily advocate violence, but everyone has to have a line in the sand, and I don't know that we're going to be able to stop legislature that's going to just trample all over every right that we've ever had. I saw a story today that the Supreme Court, the big one, the one all the way at the top, voted for police officers in a warrantless seizure of three marijuana plants in this guy's closet because they smelled pot. They smelled pot, they kicked the door down, oh, we found pot, you go to jail. No warrant, no nothing. And smell is probable cause. Did you collect smellaments? Smell pot. I smell bomb-making materials. And we're kicking your door down, and whatever thing we've determined is illegal. If you have it, we're taking you to jail. Once these kind of laws get into place, where people are like, "Yeah, well, he was doing something illegal. I'm glad they." Broke in there without his God-given right. But once these laws are in place, then what happens when they start to make it laws like, well, we don't want you reading this book. We don't want you doing this. And now we're smelling pot and we're kicking in, oh, you got a book written by such and such an author, and he's subversive, so now you're going to jail. I mean, there was a report that came out that I believe it was a memo circulated by the FBI that potential domestic terrorists referencing the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Maybe supporters of Ron Paul. I mean, these are the people that say, look out for these guys. They could be terrorists if they support a senator in our current U.S. government. Not saying that I trust Ron Paul completely, but these are the kind of things. Like, if somebody's constantly referencing their Bill of Rights, they could be a terrorist. I mean, come on. Against what country? The United States of Kill? The police state? The warmongers? I mean, we
I do like to point out we're saying the United States a kill, the police state, and the warmongers, but this is a global takeover that's occurring with the New World Order, and it's a common theme throughout the world, and it's literally a flock that sticks together, even though they create their own inner politics in order to keep us divided, dumb, and under control. And we keep continuously, idiotically, sheepishly, however you want to put it, cycling through the same dirty laundry, expecting a new, fresh look, and it's not going to happen. We saw Obama as a young guy who promised us everything. We cycled him in. We didn't pay attention to his commonalities, his links, and et cetera. We listened to his rhetoric, the classic, exactly what we're talking about right here, idiot box effect. We listen to what comes out of the mouth. We do not understand the history or the means. Where did this guy come from?
What I love coincidences, and the coincidental aspect of President Obama for me is that his real name was Barry Satoru. That means his initials are BS.
Barry Satoru's BS. Yes, that's right.
So let's just call him President BS for short.
I mean, it would be completely accurate, and I think that's, you know, we were talking about Paul or third-party candidate, whoever, you know, the unlikelies may just have a new option here coming up in 2012, but I ultimately am looking at 2012 as a distraction from the real issues, you know, and I was making the claims that war is needed, or else we feel the sting of that debt. That debt will not hang over our heads unless there is a pending war and a threat level to the United States. I think the government knows that as well. You know, it's part of the application process for Obama's giant credit card that he's used to stop us from feeling.
PJ, what do you got against impending war?
Let's go a step further and say, what do I got against perpetual war that threatens to exist forever?
I know. I mean, look, they've been trying to create a perpetual motion machine forever, and now they've created a perpetual war machine. Isn't it fabulous?
I mean,
can we bask in its radioactive warmth?
And it's right out of required reading here in America. George Orwell's 1984 amongst students, so high school students. So you know, it's amazing that we can't smell this from a mile away, pick up on it, and boot it out. The level of propaganda, as I was pointing out at the beginning of the show as well. I'm 26 years old. Rick is 2 online here. We're a day apart in birth. But anyways, you know, 26 years old, I don't feel that I've ever been relieved of the propaganda machine, and I don't feel that I've ever understood what it is to formulate an opinion outside of it. That's why 2.5 years ago, when I was forced to stop and ask myself, what is it that I really do believe politically, and couldn't answer myself outside of what I was hearing on mainstream TV, outside of what my neighbor had said. You know, to begin to formulate my own opinion and answer somebody when they ask me things like, why did you vote this way, other than, well, he looked good or he sounded good. You know, so this is and you said it. This is the time right now to hop in Patriot with Penn's chat, to call in, to create your own situation. Forums are available all over the internet. Everybody's got the opportunity to market in one way or another, and I think we're going to see this become hugely popular. I do remain an optimist. I think what I was trying to point out. I do remain an optimist, even in these murky waters that we're sitting in today.
I think of myself as a comical fall guy. Yeah. You know? Because that's the idea, really. Just put yourself out there. Wake up every morning and say, you know what? I'm just gonna play some games with the New World Order today. You know, I'm just gonna insult them and make their life just that little bit more annoying. And why not? I mean, after all, if you can have fun at their expense, just bear in mind that there's nobody that's got a bigger expense account than the New World Order.
Well, I get what you're saying, and exactly. We got to break this down systematically one way or another. A revolution of the people is needed, and teaching each other is a great way to start. I want to throw it out there again. If you'd like to come on with Vinny, Rick, and me, we are available. Call in 347-850-8008. Mold our topic. Share your opinions and views and help in, you know, mold me, I'll mold you. That's the point of this game, and it's all in one effort. The American people. At this point, Vinny's online, New Zealand, the world against the New World Order. And as Vinny pointed out, there are implants, patriots everywhere throughout the world, in immense proportions here in the United States, I know from experience. Yeah. Even though the people who are submitting to polls, just understand that when they call me, I hang up. I don't even talk to them. So So where do they get their poll numbers from? They get them from idiots to discourage the very essence that it is to keep our homelands. You know, I'm going to have to start talking worldly now that Vinny's online, not just America, but our homelands, the lands of the brave, in order to, Vinny, keep your stuff going on up in New Zealand, however you guys damn well please. United States and the rest of my people here, you know, to keep this land a beacon of hope and freedom that we all think it is and think it should continue to be, you know, even with our cloud that we have over our head, we still do believe that. I'm firmly behind that idea.
Yeah, well, you know what I find interesting is there's the juxtaposition between a patriot and when you're fighting the New World Order, because what you're doing is you're essentially fighting against foreign oppression. But the interesting thing is because everybody's oppressed, the oppression itself isn't foreign. The oppression itself is what's caused by every single patriot standing up. If we didn't stand up, they wouldn't bother doing anything or something like that. You know, that's the argument. And my argument is, well, if you're still alive, okay, they're still trying to kill you. So why have you stopped fighting, okay? You just sent that email. You just sent that petition. You just voted on this particular issue. You just did that talk radio show. Well, what are you doing now? I mean, seriously, time's a wasting, mother effer.
What they say? They say they don't take a day off. I can't either. I can't remember who was the famous person.
It was Bob Marley that said that. He was shot 2 days before a performance, and then 2 days later he walked out on stage and said, "Our enemies don't take a day off, so neither can I."
And that's profound. That's exactly what it is. Hey, Rick, and also Vinny. Vinny, you're welcome to hang in there, too. I just do a quick break at the hour just to refill my coffee and take a moment to breathe, let the chat room catch up, anybody call in. Of course, during the break, I'll keep you on the back line, and we'll get you into this roundtable, 347-850-8008. Rick, any comments before we go to break?
No, go ahead anyway, man.
All right, yep, this, Vinny, anybody who hasn't been in with us before, it's just a quick 2 minutes or so that I put together just to give us a breath. We'll be right back with you guys here.
PJ's going to go take a WikiLeak.
There, bingo. All right, guys, we'll be right back with you in just a moment. Hang in there, guys. Thank you.
We have reached our halfway point in this program, Patriot with a Pin. We would like to take a moment to remind everyone out there, there is a seat for you on Patriot with a Pin. Feel free to call in at any time. We are a nation at war. We are a people in a compromised situation in both security and economics. Let us not sacrifice our liberty and constitutional rights of man in exchange for a little security and stability. Let us always remain fair, just, and independent as a people and a nation. We hold a huge responsibility. Our nation has waged war, and it is our duty as a nation to ensure our nation's aims are always peace, tolerance, equality, rights, and neutrality. It is my understanding that our position, America, in this world has been compromised and infiltrated. A progressive nation looking to the future and constant expansion and change, responding to an ever-growing nation. Our problems are large and require adaptation. We must not, though, move forward and forget our lessons, moral upbringing as a nation, and quality we once enjoyed here in America. I plead to a nation, spread far and thin, please come back home, remember your people and our way of life, study our mistakes, and make them right. Give the people the cold, hard truth, which they deserve. Withdraw your hand from the cookie jar of the world. Adapt with what you have and give to your fellow American and man what you can. I have a dream, too, of an independent nation governed on the rights of man for equality, neutrality, and the well-being of all. A triumph for the world to once again marvel at her unity, strength, and abilities to achieve such a diverse, accepting, free people. I dream of a day when all are independent, thus this nation remain independent, and I can once again go to work made and serviced in America, where I can go to the store and buy made in America, and know my country is not a company that can be bought and sold. My rights and constitution are protected, and America, her businesses, banks, government, and people all once again work for America. This is my dream, a dream which we can all make reality. I would like to close this break with an original quote from myself, your host, of Patriot with a Pen. Think independent, vote independent, be independent. The future of this country is that which it was founded upon, independency. I am your host of this most excellent Patriot radio show, founded upon rights, liberty, and justice for all, giving a voice to any who wish to be heard, and an ear to a constant epic battle in this world of good versus evil. I am your host tonight. I present to you the second round of Patriot with a Pen.
And the crowd goes wild. Welcome back, guys, from our excellent break. Thank you, Vinny. Mason, 2011, we're back. Think independent, vote independent, be independent. We are an independent 50 United States. How can we expect to get anywhere in the future and protect what we've got, a constitution which guarantees each and every one of us the rights and freedoms to be the people that we are in our everyday lives, be it the politics that they are today? How in the world do we expect that things are ever going to get any better, or at least guarantee that our independence is going to remain without thinking independently, voting independently, and being independently? Whether you think that means that you have to go register independent or however, just make your own decisions and be heard about it. And not only that, go out and tell people why you've done it so that, again, we can get on with protecting this idea of freedom and independence. People ask me or call me an extreme protectionist. Why not protect? What about America? What about the people is there that you are going to convince me that I should not be protecting? Why would I not be a protectionist is the question. Anyways, that's the spirit of Patriot with a Pen, guys. And again, welcome back from break. I've got Vinny, I've got Rick, and I've got a new caller in here as well. 702 area code will get you right on here. Vinny, what do you think out of New Zealand with my break there? Was it grotesque? Was it inspiring? How'd it do?
Well, it was very American. And I've got to divulge something here, guys. And you know, believe me, I understand the difference between an American and the American government. An American is a very nice guy, very nice woman. Very, very nice. You know, if you go into their house, they'll give you food. They'll actually do stuff for you, you know. They've got this thing called hospitality. However, the entire world currently, thankfully to the American government, hates everything to do with America. I kid you not. You try to go to anywhere in the world and you start talking about America, you start talking about freedom, you start talking about liberty, the first thing that comes to mind is George W. Bush, freedom, liberty bombs. Boom! Oh, that's some liberty with some gunpowder right there. That's how they interpret it now. It's almost as if, because of a single American leading the country, as if every single person in the country is somehow evil. And it's effing stupid. And, you know, I'd like to say that well, there's, you know, the N-word that you're not allowed to say? Well, that's what the Americans are. They're the ends of the 21st century, hated globally, lauded as the fattest, stupidest, most entertained, least informed populace on Earth.
With the kind of polls that I'm seeing as far as what we know politically, I'm not too far off on what you're saying. And also to add to it, if you're going to recognize that you're a slave, you got to see the chains. Go ahead, Vinny. Then we're going to get Rick's comment, and I'm going to get to this caller.
Yeah, well, the point is, it's like we are not our government. I mean, as far as I know, my government's never actually represented me. You know, they haven't done a single thing that I would have done. You know, like
hey, look, here's some massive amounts of money that we made up out of thin air. I'm the World Bank. I want to sign you up to this enormous 111-point plan that will privatize absolutely everything in your country and leave your people destitute in the streets.
Vinny would have said, F you! But the government says, oh, sweet ass, bro. You know, and it is the same thing everywhere, man. All of our countries are either populated with retards or ruled by them.
I agree. It does need pointed out, but I also agree in finding a way to become popular with the retards. Does that make sense? And I know that's you know, whatever, politically incorrect or Cuss words, we're not censored, but in my mind. But anyways, I'm also in on inspiring those people, those politically unaware, those too fat, too lazy. I got to find a way to appeal to them, or I don't feel that I really have a full fighting advantage when it comes to actually changing. Go ahead, Vinny.
You get freedom if you buy my cheeseburgers.
Oh, thank you, Mr. McDonald.
I like that campaign. You know, if we could somehow put an anti-New World Order message on the wrapper of every cheeseburger, we'd have a pretty aware population real quick.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, there we go. Because
you've
got
Mark,
an appeal that could be all consumerism.
Yeah, we got Mark online. He's a regular here with us. 702 or Mark, just to make sure that's you. Go ahead.
Yes, it's me. Oh, this is a great show tonight, and I like the people in Australia, New Zealand, that whole area. They always are on our side, and they never turn traitor, and they're good friends to have. They only mess up the language. They mispronounce the words a little bit, but, you know, nobody's got it all, I guess. What we need to do, though, and why I'm calling in, the things that you're talking about, PJ, you really ought to study the word nationalist. During World War II and after the war, Americans were nationalists, and nationalism, that was the most fun I ever had. We get to wave our own flag, we're a sovereign nation, we get to protect the border, we get to win the wars. Everybody in the world, they might not like us, but they all respect us, and that's better. And respect is earned. And that guy Obama is so screwed up by it. Bowing down and making a fool of himself. But he's an African. He's not from around here. He's not an American. I'm not fooled by any of that stuff. So I think if you figure out what you're after, it's nationalism. It's a great feeling to be secure in what you represent. And back here, the government stayed out of our way. That's the way they could be. They think you're so important. They think the world revolves around them. And believe me, it doesn't. We're not going to make these kind of mistakes again.
Yeah.
Our people got really dumbed down.
So, Mark, is nationalist then what I'm equating to what I've been diagnosed previously as a protectionist? Would you say those are either pretty closely aligned?
As nationalists, we have tariffs. We did whatever we needed to do to make our country the best we could. And we weren't ashamed of it. I mean, you should have seen the way people would have parades and, you know, veterans were honored and, you know, everybody put a flag out at the holidays. And
what do you call what we
real
have
happy
now?
World.
What do you call what we have now?
A kleptocracy.
Well, an abomination. It's completely something that would make the men of that generation of World War II, they would be sick to their stomachs. They would probably do something radical. And George Washington.
I like where Kiwi said it's blind patriotism. But yeah, absolutely.
Well, a lot of people consider nationalism to be dangerous because if everybody's rooting for their own country, they could start a fight. Well, you could say the same thing about the Old West when people carried six guns, and that was the law. But you'd be surprised. The people in the Old West respected each other, and that's a hell of a lot better than what we have now. Now our president has a license to steal. What you call redistribution of wealth is nothing more than what his wife does. And he finds you on the street, he takes your cash or whatever, and redistributes it. So really what happened is the ex-slaves that we had here became the masters of the plantation, and they're just looting everybody. That doesn't take any talent. That doesn't respect human rights. We got to get back to having protection for private property. If you can't create something and keep it for yourself, we don't have any freedom. It's all a lie.
I think and it was said by a I believe I was watching a clip. It was an ex Soviet person that was in on the propaganda machine and everything over there who had defected to America in the 80s, and he did this whole thing on an interview on mind control and how to steer a public, and basically what he said was in effect over in the Soviet Union and handed over to the United States, was the first step was to demoralize the public in order to get them in a position to begin to accept. That demoralization is here, and it's proven itself to me.
You guys
how,
are the big
in your opinion, how do you reverse that demoralization? What do you endorse? Can you give
okay, what you got to do is quit letting them push your buttons. When they call you a racist, you know, you're supposed to throw yourself on the ground and say, well, I have a black friend. I have black friends. You know, quit acting like whatever. And when they call you, you know, to throw the race card and all these other guilt trip things, those buttons don't work anymore. You stand your ground, you look them in the eye, and if they keep doing that, you're the one that becomes offended, you know, because they're putting you in a box and they're expecting you to act in a subservient manner. And let me tell you, the United States did not let any flag fly over their flag, and no other country could humiliate us like we're being humiliated now.
You know, I'm for that, and I'm just like our New Zealand buddy. I'm fine with New Zealand flying their flag well above the United States flag if our flag is to be included in their homeland for whatever reason. So,
that's a violation. I'll tell you what, the people from World War II would knock your lights out. Under no circumstances can that happen.
So if our flag is flown in New Zealand on New Zealand's ground, then we are to go knock, you know, punch New Zealand in the gut?
No, you just don't ever let your flag be flown underneath another flag. It makes sense once you understand. If you lived in that world, you would figure out that the world worked then. And we didn't beat up people, and we didn't humiliate people. We rebuilt Japan. We rebuilt Germany. But also we kept an eye on them. We still have troops over there.
Vincent, any thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, when we talk about flags, what I go back to is where all the flags came from, and they're basically just maritime trading flags, and the United States flag is modeled directly after the East India Trading Company's trading flag. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah,
they got a great track record.
That's our history.
Yeah, see, there you go. Now, what happens is that the message of a flag originally was, hey, I'm a big evil corporation with my own military, and I'm going to subdue you and enslave your people and so that I can do business without any impediments. That's what the flag means. And then they change a little bit, but they put stars instead. And then what we've got now is we've got a false identity. The American public doesn't identify with the flag meaning liberty, truth, justice, and the American way anymore. It's the American flag meaning blind support for the president, blind support for war, support the troops, etc.
Well, unity
doesn't encourage thinking.
50 stars, and I think that's what I was saying at the beginning after our break.
50 pentagrams.
Well, okay, but the stars that represent the states, and this is just what it means to the people. We aren't looking at them as pentagrams. We're looking at it as red, white, and blue. We love America. 4th of July, shoot off fireworks. And
right.
50, these 50 stars are representing 50 United States, and I make a point of this as well, that we have to guarantee that 50 United States remain an independent body and not one giant American corporation that it's become today. There is huge danger in this. We are dealing with the very front lines of this, and it's moving in, and it's here. The trucks are on the ground. They just the machine guns are aimed. They just haven't begun to fully pull the triggers yet, but we see them. When you see that, I mean, if it's just rocks sitting next to you, you got to pick up a rock and throw it. Let's take it to the third world nation, shall we? Anyways, that was just what thought that brought up for me.
It's talking about fighting with the tools. Go ahead, man.
Okay, I just wanted to say the 50 states were what the United States was founded on, not on the federal government. The federal government was barely supposed to exist, if at all. It's only one square mile that doesn't belong to any particular state. And the states were supposed to rule everything. It's what they agreed on, not the federal government telling the states what to do. It's become completely perverted.
It takes a lackey in the right spot at the right time, and then bam. And, you know, that's why we're looking at our look at our checks and balances system. We have three different, of course, legislation, executive, judicial, that are supposed to check and balance each other. The executive have eaten the both of them up, and it's effective.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear Obama a month ago? He held up a bill that was a Defense of Marriage Act. And he ruled it unconstitutional. And I thought, well, that's something new. The executive branch is now ruling on the legality of laws. That was supposed to be the judicial branch. And then he said he wasn't going to enforce a law, which was the Defense of Marriage Act. And that's supposed to be what the executive branch does. If they don't enforce the law, that means the legislative branch is wasting their time passing laws because they don't mean anything. The executive branch is just because they will not recognize that law.
We've got a similar system to that here in New Zealand, is that we have a prime sinister dictatorship. Basically, somebody will take a vote, you know, vote for who they want to be their prime sinister for that year based upon the party that he represents or whatever. And then, lo and behold, he appoints everybody that happens to be part of globalist organizations to run the country.
Does it sound familiar? I took this girl from China, and she didn't know anything about the Western world, and I convinced her I was the most intelligent man in Nevada, and if she trusted me, I would teach her English completely to where she could pass the BBC proficiency exam, and then I got her a visa, and I sent her to Australia to graduate, to go to school in Queensland. And then what happened was, she told me the Australians are terrible. She said at night they get big bottles of liquor, and they go out on the beach and they dance all night. And I was trying to tell her, you know, maybe you should learn how to do that. Maybe they're custom, you know. But what happened is, she decided that Western culture was really debased, and it wasn't the ideal that she thought it was. And then when she went back to China after 4 years, China was even worse. They'd become just like the Western countries, and the corporations were depriving the people of land, and they couldn't get jobs. They're becoming so Western so quick, it's funny. So then she calls me a week ago. She hates her country. I said, don't hate it. I said, the whole world's that way. We got to learn more how to work more and make it better. But she set up with the multinational corporations. They are a problem even in China.
Yeah, man. Don't worry about your own country because that's just too depressing. Just worry about the entire freaking world. That'll make you feel nice and cozy. We're all screwed, but at least we're all screwed together.
Well, what it is, hey, if you screw a bunch of things together, you have one strong beam. But what it is, it's the age-old fight. This has happened a million times before. Every once in a while, a few a-holes get a hair up their behind and try to take over the world. And
they're born all the time.
The masses, because generally most people want to feed their family, raise their family, and grow old and die. That's all. We don't want to take over countries. We don't care. About making a bajillion dollars. We're sold that we want that. Same as we're sold the image of what we're supposed to look like, what cars we're supposed to drive. And you can all buy this on credit. Don't worry. Most people just want to raise their family and feed themselves. But a couple of a-holes through criminal enterprise come together and try to take over the world. And this is just another one of those ebb and flows, and it's going to happen. We wake up. It's in our human nature. Say it's in our human nature to try to take over the world. We wake up and go, no, this crap is wrong. And as long as everybody realizes that we're not screwed, it's going to get ugly, but that shift is going to come. We are going to...
Well, I hope you're right. The thing is, if Nazi Germany had computers like we have now, where you could track every word, every keystroke, every conversation, it could have gotten ugly with the Gestapo having that much of a snoop ability. And I'm worried we've got to do something to give ourselves more privacy, or else we're not going to have the freedom of speech that we need to organize and do things. So
I think it's just a that goes, Mark, though, as soon as if that were to ever go, and I don't think it will, because they know exactly what will happen. That is the fan of the fire. That is the combustion. That's the wake up point. So I think they have to have. It's like any good thing that you have to do in order to organize something together, say like a business or something. You have to come up with a model. If there's already an existing model and you want to be profitable, you have to make that bottom. You have to replace that model with your own model that's better and put your name on it. And you know, that's what we got going on here. And I mean, I think that's just going along with what Rick was saying. That's exactly what things like this is doing. PatriotWithAPen.com. This live radio show. Inspiring other people. We're preparing. We are preparing. And I liked what Vinny came in and said, though, earlier as well. It's not timing is everything, and it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. The time's now. We're preparing for happening right now.
It's more to the point that the time is now, and it's always been now, and you're late.
And also, government is not that important. My God. I'm a scientist, and let me tell you, I can go for years at a time. I don't need government. I don't need, you know, a lot of the things that they try to push on us. And the thing is, every time you let them take over more of your security, they take a little bit more of your freedom. Well, I'll tell you, you never quite get the security, but the freedom stays gone, and our forefathers knew this was going to happen. So they were trying to put in different mechanisms to where we can preserve our freedom. Don't ever trade your freedom for anything, no matter what they promise.
Well, when you're talking about the perfect what we're calling it, revolution per se. I mean, there's three elements that I like to look at and like to follow. The first element is propaganda, which I think the American founding fathers are absolutely fabulous at. They have a lot of printing presses, people walking around all over the place, handing stuff out, burning the fire in the minds of the men. Through the spreading of that information, they managed to wake everybody up, managed to foment the military and all their country. And then the second revolution I like to look at is gun. Instead of going towards violence, that kind of ground. The main point is Gandhi, there was a time when they were getting crap-beaten out by the British police. Huge protest of Indians, and these British police were just sitting there smashing them. And as the first line of people went down, the women would come in and they'd drag the bodies back and they'd tend to their wounds. And then the next line of people would go up to get the crap-beaten out of them. Okay? And it kept happening until every single baton was smashed and broken and tender so they couldn't hurt anybody anymore. They just gave up. Now, the third, and this is really the more important one and the one that Americans really need to learn about, ironic as it may sound, is from Hugo Chavez. Now, when he got elected, he, in fact, kept one of his election promises, which was to teach everybody the Constitution of Venezuela, to protect their rights, to protect their country, to protect their president, etc. The CIA state coup, 2 million people who knew their rights, took to the streets and got them back in. So the only way to foment a revolution is with information. Then you need to resist so your enemy can't resist back. And then you need to solidify your revolution with education. Okay, that's what I think.
Well, here's the thing that anyone can take.
Let me say something real quick.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that there's an echo that comes and goes on this line. And I was getting past the Australian accent, New Zealand accent. The one starts echoing.
Mark, let me stop
some other language.
There. What,
I can't understand it.
See, what's going on?
Off and just listen on the air. Okay?
Yeah, no, you can hang in there. What's going on? Mark, what's going on is Vinny's mic was echoing a little bit. And what else is going on is I'm using speakers to pump you guys through my microphone so that people on Patriot with a Pen is hearing everything that's happening, because Blog Talk Radio is where I take my calls in, and that is broadcasted solely on the website, so my computer won't pick it up with its What You Hear application to broadcast
it
live.
It's not working.
Well,
I'm just way too much for what he was saying.
It is working. PatriotWithAPen.com can hear us just fine. There's no echo from your voice to them. You guys online with me may hear a slight echo back to you from what you're saying. If you can deal with it, Holden. Anyway.
I got to go listen on Patriot with a Pen.
Sure,
I mean,
no problem. But last comment on it. Next week, or I'm sorry, next show, a couple of days here. Next show, keep up with our counter and follow along. You all are always welcome back. Next show, we'll have our own Skype number, and I'm leaving Blog Talk Radio, so this isn't going to be
a lot better.
Yeah. All right.
Okay,
anyway,
tonight,
let's get back to it. That's the technical end. Vinny, you want to try and bring us back to topic?
Well, yeah, we were talking about how to make a revolution work, and you've got to wake people up with sufficient propaganda. And you've got to resist your enemy with weapons that they can't beat you with, because if you want to, let's say, for example, take out the U.S. military at the moment, I know plenty of guys who are ex-military, and they could take out the New Zealand military just like that, because they know how they work, and they know that a guerrilla war, they won't be able to work against them. Okay, but Gandhi, on the other hand, he was the one who did the peaceful, non-violent, non-compliance, which is what I advocate, rather than, I mean, war and killing people, that's a last resort, okay, because it's not going to be on some distant battlefield, it's going to be amongst us, amongst our children and our families, and you don't want to have everybody see with their own eyes what our veterans have seen over there, okay? You don't want to bring that kind of thing home with you. It's like bad homework.
Well, and I see what I see coming is obviously there's an obvious civil divide here in America. There's two sides to it. One that thinks that we must ward ourselves to the state. The federal government is just fine in being able to handle every last affair for the people. They over bureaucratize and they over regulate every last thing. And it seems that they won't stop until every last aspect of our lives, including registering us when we're born, say with a microchip or a barcode or whatever you want to put labels on it, however you want to think about the future and that sort of society. There's that crowd, and then there's another crowd that believe in independence and freedom and what I call protectionism. I think it's inherently protection, or as Dale was calling, or I'm sorry, Mark was calling it, nationalist. I haven't defined that for myself yet, but interesting new word I'm sure I'll start kicking around. That's where Vinny, pull my signature move. Go ahead.
Nice one, man. Okay, well, when I talk about New Zealand, I kind of talk about this little slave island nation chain full of fluoride heads and aspartame guzzling rugby fans. Okay, this country is full to the brim with scum, and I say that very affectionately because I love my country, but it doesn't change the fact that everybody is basically diluted into the point of having no real awareness of politics, health, the media, nothing. And it is so depressing. But why get depressed when you can become one with the madness on the Vinny Eastwood Show with Gills?
I think you brought me back to the idea was that a civil war, and I think what sparked my thoughts on it was when you were talking about it's, you know, fighting amongst ourselves, amongst our children, and in that civil divide that I was painting there, I think I'm seeing two sides stepping here in the United States that need to find a way to mesh together without giving up things like liberty, constitution, and independence, because I know for a fact that the side that I'm standing on, and I think all of you can guess by my description where exactly I am, but the side that I'm standing on, we're not going to give that up, and I don't think they're going to give that up. And then I start to divide in my mind and begin to think, well, it is here, Vinny. I don't think it's going anywhere. And the wars that we're seeing over there, ultimately, and this is what's scary, when we're thinking about a pending debt that looms over, we just hit our debt ceiling. Are we going to raise it? Are we going to see what's going or go pay the piper? I guarantee
You know what they're going to do? They're going to buy a really expensive chandelier with borrowed money to put into that debt ceiling, all right?
Well, either that or what they're doing in Greece. You know, declare everything the government's asset and then borrow on the country's ability to keep the people out of the way of utilizing that asset in any way that the other countries feel necessary or wish to.
I'm sure that the IMF is now absolutely happy that they have a lifetime supply of olives.
Yeah. Well, you see. But the civil divide and the war I'm claiming is here, and you see that sort of situation happen, the government have to step in like that, or the debt actually hit us and we start really seeing exactly what it is to not be able to bring in the kind of product that we do and not have the kind of outgoing product that we need, or the buying amongst ourselves of our own product or even producing of our own product, that puts us in a real situation where that civil war kicks off. And I think that, and this is just a thought, you know, call it a prediction or what have you, not something that I'm trying to fully advocate even at the moment. Just looking at the reality of the situation, that's where I see our current situation here in America, a civil war that's pending.
There's a heck of a lot of destabilization techniques that are being employed simultaneously. The great difficulty with the United States is because it's such a diverse place, which is convenient that it's broken up into states here. And I think everybody should basically go to that Bank of North Dakota, is it, model? And apparently they're the only state that isn't monstrously in debt at the moment, which is probably why the federal government's working like hand over fist to try and take them over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look at it this way. The best governance method is the governance by somebody who knows what they're talking about. Can I ask you a question? In your town, in your city, which Barack Obama has probably never been to, never lived in, who do you think has the best information on hand to make the right call about what happens with your city? It's obviously you, the person who lives there. Back in the day in New Zealand, we had a thing called borough council models. And you know how you pay taxes to the city or whatever? They do water or whatever the heck. We didn't used to do that. We used to have very, very small little suburbs called borough councils. And each and every street had a representative for the council on. Every street. And what that person's job on that street was to do was just maintain the street, to report on it and make sure that, you know, if the tree branches came down, they called the council to come clean it up. They had the works department, everything was working just fine, nothing was wrong. And the only payment that was actually given to the person is they just didn't have to pay their rent. And it worked perfectly. There was no corporatism, there was no contracting, everything worked fabulous because the people who lived in the area were responsible for the area. Now what we've got is a greater federalization of our nations. And everything we try to do is blocked by somebody who lives thousands of kilometers away, hundreds of kilometers. You know, it doesn't matter how far away they are because they're not right here right now. And they can't do jack about it because of that fact. And for some reason, people have gotten the idea in their head that they're sitting around waiting for some bureaucrat miles away to get off their fat keister behind a desk to jockey some papers in your direction is a grand idea. And I don't think this is a bright idea whatsoever. I think the bigger the government, the less freedom an individual has, and the less efficient the economy runs. That's what I think.
Right. Well, if you look at the government, has one goal, and that's to sustain itself, to be sure that the government is going to be in place controlling everything. With our debt ceiling, do you think continually to raise the – what's the point of having a debt ceiling, for one? But to continually raise it, that's not in the interest of us now or our future generations. But in order for them to exist in the essence that they exist now, they have to raise the debt ceiling rather than to just drop off. I mean, we don't need a federal government to take care of Columbus, Ohio. The only thing that ever happens when Barack Obama comes here is traffic sucks because they shut down on the freeway. He doesn't need to be in our local affairs. The only thing the federal government needs to do is make sure our borders are protected and set our tariffs and trade agreements. You know, that's the powers that the Constitution gave, and everything else was to the states. The because the state's no better. And if you don't like what your state is doing, you move to another state.
And both those things you just pointed out that the federal government should be doing, which I'm in full advocacy of what you just said. Both those things we're doing exactly the opposite. We're allowing more than ever through our borders and continuing to try and legislate that. And legislation at this point is put into our system as though it's passed today and comes into effect 3 years from now, 5 years from now. So we don't even know really what's going on with that. Fully. So, and then also the commerce and the other that you were pointing out, we're wide open there too as far as business is concerned. We've given it all away, and we're ensuring that every product that's coming my way to my doorstep does not come from this country. So the government's doing nothing of what it's supposed to be doing, and we're still voting. So what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
Said for years, PJ, I'm proud to say that I've never voted in a single election because we make jokes about it, be like, oh, well, it's a douchebag or a turd sandwich. Well, you have to pick the lesser of the two evils. BS, you don't have to pick anybody.
I almost debate whether this should be my new attitude. And 2012 is kind of a real, it's been a real brain teaser for me because I got to come up with things like this. Am I going to even back a president? Why would I do that if I can't get into something? Am I even going to vote if I can't get things going? Well, but then there's the opposite end of the argument. I feel I feel like it's my duty to go and vote. And if I'm voting and nobody's on the ballot that I like, write in myself, right? Everybody says that. But then what's the point? Why would I even get off the couch? Well,
I got an idea.
Exercise the right or lose it kind of mentality that I have. So I'm trying to find out, should I break that mentality down like Rick says, or should I continue on and believe that that's something that I've got to keep alive, just simply voting? What do we think, though, if we don't vote and do that in protest? Is the right to vote going to go away? And if it did, would that not cause one of the biggest upsets in America? I mean, they wouldn't be able to.
On a corrupt system, though. It's like, which criminal would you like? Well, that one looks better. So, I mean, what you're supporting a system that will never work for you. If there was actually a person that got on the ballot that really believes the way that we believe, I believe that a lot of people that at least frequent this show, Blog Talk Radio, these people that are out there doing it, if there was actually a guy on the ballot like that, they'd just shoot him.
We need an alternative media candidate, exactly. But,
I just wanted to weigh in here because that was exactly what I was going to say, is that you want to use politics not as a means of getting elected but as a means of becoming part of the media, okay? If you are a political candidate, that means you get invited to candidates' meetings, you get to speak in public halls, you get to go on debates, and you get your message out. And all your message has to be is, this entire government is screwed! Everybody here is a scumbag! Don't vote for any of them! Vote no confidence! Gosh dang it!
I like it, Vinny. That's perfect, man. And I think we were even bringing up at one point, it was a .org, I know that. I can't remember the actual website, but they were just simply teaching anybody. They have the manuals and the know-how, and actually I think there was even like a support team that would chat with you to walk you through, well, this is your next step, this is where you want to go, this is how you're going to do it. Because that's ultimately, though, Vinny, to tell you the truth, in the 50 states, and I tell you what, I had them send me some election booklets. Rick, I'll give you one, by the way. I haven't given you yours. Yeah, we got like five.
Go.com.
I thought it was an org. Okay, .com, go.com. But anyway, so they want to just teach anybody how to do it and assist them in doing it, because at this point, the bureaucracy, the cage that they've put around this sort of situation is so thick that without maybe have started a business, knowing what it is to sit down and plan a business and start it and go through the red tape that you got to go through to get to it, and just understand how to, you know, if you've never had to work with the government before, your mind is going to be, you're going to be ready for arrest after you read the first paragraph. You're not, you know, and at that point, if they can wear you out by page two and it requires some 70 pages of know-how to get elected, I'd say that the general populace is pretty screwed without a helping hand. And that's why I liked what go.com was doing.
Yeah, yeah, man. It's like President BS, his campaign pledge for 2012 is change you can beg for. Now, everybody out in the American economy is going to wind up begging for change at some point, and they thought that originally they would only be able to vote for it, but it turns out that there was another plan afoot. And it seems, of course, and I watched this interesting documentary, I forget what it was, wasn't the Obama deception, it was another one. But anyway, every single thing that Obama says is the exact opposite of what he does. And a thought occurs to me, is he alone in that? Or is that everybody? Oh, wait, it is everybody. The Prime Minister is supposed to make sure that the country doesn't go into turbulent waters. So therefore, his job description is to crash the economy into an iceberg and sink with all the women and children on board. The person who's supposed to be in charge of your judiciary, your Supreme Court judges, are supposed to uphold the law. So therefore, their job is to destroy the law in every conceivable way possible. That's why I find all of this so funny, because it's such a complete opposite sick joke 24 hours a day. And that's basically what people need to realize, is that politics is no more than a game that with a very, very sick joke as the punchline, okay? And they will destroy your country, they will steal all your resources, and they will exterminate you unless you realize it, okay? It's not going to stop until we wise up.
I like what Rhino pointed out, a good he said, I think George Carlin nailed it on the issue of if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But if you did vote, then you have no right to complain, because you may have put the you're the one who put the assholes in office. Pardon the French. But anyways, yeah, exactly. And so where does our disobedience begin? Is it in not voting, or is it in voting? I think you nailed it, Vinny. It's not in either. It's in running. And if I have the problem with Obama, or if I have the problem that we all have and say that, well, there's no good candidate. As a matter of fact, just on the last show, we were talking about Ron Paul. We were so desperate. Always a Mason, always a globalist, always, you know, he may bounce the Fed, but he's still going to do this and this to keep the thumb over us. And, you know, so we were debating that. Why even debate that? It's about us. Why not get on the ballot? And that's go.com. If you can't figure it out, go there, type your state. They're going to walk you through it. Just get on the ballot. And all of a sudden, it's not a protest when I go out on the corner and decide to stand out there with my megaphone and my sign, because that's my commercial. My campaign doesn't have the money to put it on TV. Why would I not be allowed to stand on a soapbox? Didn't that define presidential elections at one time here in America? So, I mean, Vinny, I think I like the creative atmosphere that just came about on that. Okay, that's where my mind is.
Well, there's another thing that I think we could do is, because the elections are a joke and we know they're a joke, you could run a joke candidate. For example, somebody may have a pet spider monkey that they want to run for Congress. Congressman Lice.
I don't know if I want to campaign for my monkey. I think that we were onto something, Vinny, with the campaign under your real name and hop on a soapbox. I think
you could actually campaign with the monkey and hop on the soapbox as the monkey's translator. Like the monkey will go, and you say, Congressman Lice said that the Federal Reserve is a very bad system and it's destroying the monetary policy here in America.
You know, the very real situation here, Vinny, that we're hitting on as well, that just brought up for me is the fact that even if we are running, you know, we have to begin to look at these people and everybody around us as though we all put on our pants the same way every day in the morning, and that's one leg at a time, unless you jump. You know, the fact of the matter is, to get up on that box and just to simply say I'm running and this government is screwed, you know, and the kind of conversation, the kind of intimidation in my mind ultimately isn't real. It isn't what it's built up to be. It's just like a lot of things that when I go to do the experience, yeah, the experience was just as awesome as everybody said it. But I'll tell you what, when you guys were selling that thing to me, it sounded freaking wicked. And yeah, it was pretty wicked, but man, my mind had something really awesome whipped up, you know what I mean? So anyways, That's what PatriotWithAPen.com is, I'm hoping. That's why it's just a free forum. I add as many people in here as I can every show so that we can all just do a roundtable, so long as I can keep it manageable. And, you know, we'll do this, that, and the other to try and cope with that until we have to come up with something new. But for now, this is a training ground for that very scenario. I invite anybody to call into the show, and I invite people to go out there and shamelessly promote me. Put me on to some crazy right-wing conservative left-wing progressive scenario where you're going to draw in a crowd that's going to argue with me. It'll make for very interesting radio. You'll get to sit back and see if you can't get my butt kicked. I invite you to do it. You know, this is training for that, Vinny.
There's nothing shameful about shameless self-promotion.
Okay, sure. No bad press. I agree with that. But that wasn't the point. It was more or less what I'm trying to show people is available to happen here. You know, that's why I'm saying I'm on my soapbox right now. I am a presidential candidate. As a matter of fact, I think 5 shows ago, I announced my intent to run. I mean, I'll do a write-me-in if I have to, but whatever, if it's just me. I may not even have filed paperwork, but I'm going to say that I'm running because this is what I'm doing here at Patriot with Penn. I'm training.
Well, bear in mind that you don't need the masses to be on side in order to, win them over or make a better thing, because the reality is that in history, the masses have basically never made a difference. They're the ones that are just doing whatever the small, determined group of individuals are trying to influence them to do. Okay? So if you are part of that small, determined group of individuals who want liberty, who want freedom, who want to cast out the new world order, bastards out of the Federal Reserve System and get us out of the UN and stop poisoning our water with fluoride and stop poisoning our oceans with oil and all of that kind of stuff, then fine. Fantastic. Stand up and be counted. And you will be counted in a small number, but you just watch how much damage that small number can do to the small amount of individuals that run this country.
Absolutely. And what do they say? It takes 11% to do a revolution or something like that. I mean, it's the same ideal.
Chairman Mao, who killed something like 63 million Chinese in order to get in his reign, he only had 1% popular support.
I think that's in manipulative imbalance, right? And I mean, it's exactly this very scenario that we're in today here in America. The weight that this propaganda machine has on the people is immense. It's insane. And it's just like these polls. Like I said, when a poll calls my house, being the patriot that I am, I'm not submitting. I want nothing to do with it. I don't even want to read polls, actually. I do, though. You know what I mean? But I don't want to. But what I'm getting at here is to understand exactly the kind of leverage that is gained in the very scenario that we're seeing painted in front of us, and most buy into, I would have to say.
Yeah. Well, and the other idea is you could run a baby for congressman. You could say, hey, the congressman needs changing.
Rob says, got to be a kosher-friendly monkey to keep the ADL happy. So
if it's right
in your monkey.
Well, you know, the ADL will probably fund you because they love to have monkeys in Congress at their behest.
Oh, of course. Is your monkey buyable?
Yeah.
I have proposed one idea. I was with 10 minutes. By the way, Vinny, I got 10 minutes left in the show. Of course, you're a friend here at PatriotWithAPen.com, and everybody else out there in the crowd, you all are welcome back anytime. I try to keep this counter updated so that you all can see what I'm doing, my shows, and get in here and what have you. And this is exactly what I love. I mean, it's been a great show for me as far as being able to get us all in a round table and encourage the idea and do some training. I invite you all to train anytime, live on air, even with 10 minutes to go, 347-850-8008. I came up with an idea, and I hate to try to start a full new conversation with you 9 minutes to go, but just to try and do a quick touch and go. We got to get these representatives back to a public service mentality. I don't believe that all walks of life should be able to support themselves while being representatives, or if they do, they should already have accumulated that wealth and live off that wealth while in office. I don't believe that they should be able to take income from any outside source other than the American people to ensure the American people that they're working for them. And it's appalling to me that I've I've never, ever had that idea outside of a very small circuit, maybe on Facebook, between me and a couple friends. Never seen that idea posted on the wall. What do you think about public servants and disapproval of them? We all know that we all disapprove of this big insane government, but what about getting them working for us? Do you think that that might help out?
Well, you know, I think that government employees need to be treated like employees of the prison system. You know, like before they get the job, they have to be stripped down naked, sprayed with a fire hose, and deloused. Okay,
to be the last
chained to their desk every day. And they have to ask to go for their pee breaks and everything like that. That way, nobody who wants any power will ever go into government service, because it'll only be the people who really want to be slaves to the people that will actually willingly go into situations like that.
Absolutely, and it goes back to they should be slaves to the people, you know, and it's not the vice versa where the people are the slaves to the government, which is the exact issue that we're dealing with today. So, I mean, maybe there you go. And I also wanted to touch and go on what Rick was saying earlier as well about the country and the system not being able to work. I just want to point out that I don't think the system is being operated properly today, and I do think it does have the ability to work. This is just my opinion that I wanted to throw out on air too, just in response, because it just came back to me. But I believe that what we're currently trying is a mixture of capitalism mixed in with dominance and globalism, and ultimately equaling that of a dictatorship. It's literally, and I'm not afraid to say it, Nazis of a new uniform. And it's not America. It's not any one nation. It's a coordination of many nations. And, you know, some of them wear American military suits. Some of them wear shiny black suits with a beautiful tie and toes polish, and then go home to their, here goes my off the beaten path for the family friendly shows, cover your ears, cocaine and hookers. So it is appalling, and I'm just going to touch and go on this as well. It is politically unacceptable to be unacceptable in America and all over the world, and we have to look at that in our daily lives as well, because we exercise exactly what they're exercising typically on a mass basis, I think.
Well, what we're talking about here is precisely the cocaine and hookers touch and go, as far as I know. That's basically what President Obama and Prime Minister of New Zealand John Key and this Nick Clegg and whoever the heck we got over in the British Parliament, they're all scum. They're all puppets and servants. Why can't you see it? It doesn't matter what they're saying, because they're lying to you. Okay? It's pretty straightforward. Cocaine and hookers is all that motivates them. There is nothing you got that they won't take.
Hey, don't forget power. Yeah. Power. They love power.
So, it's the aphrodisiac. Oh, yes, we love the power. Oh, Master, I want to serve you forever, Master. Grant us the power of the dark gods.
That sounds like David Icke and the lizards, man. I mean, and who knows? Who knows? I don't put it past the government to never tell me anything, or I liked a quote that I heard the other day of Barack Obama. Were to tell me it was a nice day, I'd have to stick my head out the window and make sure of that. So I mean, that sums it up in everything. So I'm not going to claim that there's lizards in the government. I'm not going to claim that they're all scum suckers, but I am going to claim that it's insane, and that the direction of this world is obvious and apparent all the way down into our own lives. You want to, to go to the Gandhi thing, you know, I think he had it right when he said, you know, you got to change you, and then everything else begins to change around you. So, you know, be the change that you wish to see. And I think that's, you know, right here is the training ground, my friends. You want to learn how to talk live on air, I welcome you in at any time, and I'm not going to pre-screen your call. You're just going to be live. As long as you don't get belligerent or off-beaten, going too crazy on me, you know, stick with us, of course, or steer us. I don't mind, but, you know, make it interesting, or we might have to lose you. But, I mean, it's you're all welcome is the point, man, and it's the same on the streets. You get too crazy, we might have to lose you.
Well,
you're
the Texas approach to crazy.
There you go.
You're scum, boy. You're scum. I'm going to get my boots and stick them into you. I'm going to get my pickup truck, and I'm going to drive over your head.
Where's my Jim Beam at?
I want my Papa John's pizza, and I want it now! Now!
Are you sure? Well, how often do you visit America? Because you do sound quite – you're quite good at that. No, I'm just kidding. But anyways, yeah, man, this is the training ground. This is the proving ground here at PatriotWithThePen.com, and I'm just trying to encourage you all a little more to get involved. You lit up my chat room for me tonight, everybody. Thank you very much for that. Of course, Vincent, I want to take one more opportunity to invite you back anytime. You're going to get one of the first links that I put out there every time I got a show going on because I love this, man. I love people getting involved. If you'd listen to my last archive, you'll witness me. I sank on my last show. I'm not a good monologuer for 2 hours. I can't do it. So I put out the show on, I'm trying to do now a regular basis, Monday. I said Wednesday, but it's kind of been a toss-up between Wednesday and Thursday. Keep an eye on the counter. I'll keep you updated. And then we always do one Saturday as well now. So I'm trying to get everybody involved so that you guys don't have to let me sink again and really actually make this exactly what it's supposed to be, a roundtable on the state of affairs in the world. Like I said, this is a worldwide radio show here at PatriotWithThePen.com, and we encourage all aspects and views. And as you saw, Vinny, As you saw with Vinny, there is absolutely fruit in every bit of knowledge, not just from people here in the United States. I just want to throw that out there for any Jim Beam Texas rednecks in the crowd. But anyways, no, I'm this is great. This is the spirit.
You're speaking bad about Texas, boy.
I'm gonna whoop you.
Yeah. I'm gonna open up a can of whoop ass on them. You got a real purty mouth.
Excellent. Hey, Vinny, you want to tell these guys one more time where to find you, and we'll go ahead and close the show.
Well, I've got three websites that you need to visit right now. If you want to see somebody ambushing political scum and celebrities in New Zealand with a camera and talking about the New World Order, you want to have a look at my YouTube channel, Mr. News, Guerrilla Media, MR News, Guerrilla Media, GUERRILLA. Right, and also guerrillamedia.co.nz. We've got a whole bunch of contributors from all over the world who are posting freaking amazing articles because there's so much crap going on. And of course, every day I'll be bringing on new guests, new perspectives, and the fabulous news of the world to you on the lighter side of genocide, the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And you can tune in to us 5 days a week, 5 till 7 central at AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Vinny. Throw that up in the chat as well. That chat room is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We never lose the log as well. I'm not going to delete it. Someday they might delete it for overflow, but who knows? I'm going to leave it up there as long as I can and always keep it like that so we can go back. So post your YouTubes, post your articles, post anything you'd like in that chat. Also, you can find us on Facebook. I'm trying to – I haven't updated the group all the way, but you all absolutely have the opportunity to operate in there and light that thing up for me, and That'll put the fire underneath my butt to go and update that stuff. So I absolutely encourage you all to do that as well. We're all going to visit you, Vinny, there too, and I invite you back anytime for the show. You were great, man, and everybody else, you'd be great as well. Call in, of course, chat in. Again, we're doing Monday, I'm going to say Wednesday, and Saturday at this point, and of course, any other random day throughout the week when I get a burr up my old rear end, I may very well just throw that counter into hyper mode, so you really just got to watch us hang out in the Facebook, etc. But this is PatriotWithPen.com. Again, thanking Rick right here out of Columbus. I also had Ray online right here out of Columbus. And again, thank you very much, Mark. Everybody, change your text up to 14 in the chat room because Mark can't read because he's old. And everybody else, you have a great night. And I'm going to play us a song here, Vinny, then I'm going to drop the line and get on out of here. Thanks again, man.
Fantastic.
We'll be right back. the beginning of time, Earth would be mine. Living in luxury, discovering a world out there, believing in the sun, earth, water, and air. Take me there so I can see the world bloom, standing on a sea cliff, howling at the moon. Creating a world for the open-minded, a unique perception of who decided. I know we could find it. It's just a matter of when and when we collectively decided. The world is not a vicious place, it's just the way we've been raised. Discovering time and space, I know that we could make a change. We arrange the way that we appreciate the world today. It's possible to love someone and not treat them in the way that you are. It's possible to see your eyes, see the devil in disguise with another brother. It's possible to change this world, revolutionize the boys and girls. It's possible to educate the next generation of the world. The thought of wasting away, the fact that the music's at a place so far away, yet I stray, stick to my world, in love with my life, my beliefs and a girl. But is it luck that I love this crazy place, the human race? To get me wrong, I still think we could change, but this love, the fact that time exists, we're here, we don't come equipped with it all. Half the fun is learning, I'm having a ball, the world keeps turning, my role is small, that I make a change.
This is Nick Cappelletti. You can find him on YouTube. Nick Cat 711.
Of Sweat. Hope you enjoy.
Gotta love YouTube Lobe.
Soft as a
That was my buddy Nick Capoletti. You can find him on my Facebook under my friends. He is a fellow truth seeker who puts out his own music. You can find him on YouTube there. I linked this up in the chat room. I just wanted to play that for you guys. Not many people have heard it. He's got some other great stuff that's coming out. Tells me he's going to put it up on YouTube for us soon. And stuff he's already had out, but just that he hasn't put out there on YouTube for the masses just yet. All right. Anyways. Play it one more and we'll get out of here, folks.
Fight it over and over and over and over and over. and I saw an old man smiling on a park bench feeding a pigeon. My head was spinning. My young body ached. I wished for an old man's vision. And I watched the way he moved slow, serene, and lucky to be alive. Thought to myself, I'm never gonna make it that far. Too many more nights like last night. And I'd rather be 75 and sunny than acting like I'm 17 and freezing again. I'd rather be up early in the morning than up late at night again, erasing memories of where I've been. Or to be through at 52 someday, stone-faced and bleary-eyed. You better believe I'm living for the moment, but my moment's growing bigger by and by. And I got a best friend. She don't drink or smoke like I've been known. She's got religion. She's a one-woman dynamo and lights up every room she goes to. She says the light that there won't go nowhere, no way. She don't spend every second smiling, but she's learning something exciting every day. She'd rather be 75 and sunny, 29 with a chance of showers all the time. She'd rather be old as dirt, newer than any $9 bottle of wine. Ought to be thought at 35, on a stone with her back to the wind. You better believe she's living for the moment, but her moment is a whole damn thing. And I see these spin kids, double wide out, rolling and rolling and tumbling. They're roaming an inch, taking a high dive approach and screaming toward the wall. Their hearts race a million miles as they buy another smile from a jar. Their bodies are screaming for the water. You know, I just hope they can make it that far. I hope that 75 is sunny, not 29 with a chance of flurries all the time. I hope we're all over dirt, not new as every $25 ride that we try. Or to be thought at 35 on the stone with my back to the wind. You better believe I'm living for the moment, but my moments are the whole thing. And I say I'd rather be 75 on how nice, how easy for me to say. I've never broken a bone in my life, let alone had my heart or a hip replaced. And I keep this furious pace. And I still feel so good and strong. And I do get tempted for a taste, just a taste. Keep me going, 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 but I got a notion. Everything I learned coming around. And my devotion to the new thing, and the next thing, and the hip thing is slowing down. And I got a life in here, won't go nowhere, no way. And I don't spend every second smiling, but I'm learning something exciting every day. So I'd rather be 75 and sunny, 29 with a chance of showers all the time. I'd rather be old and in the way than this year's new kid running for my life. Or to be through at 52 someday, stone-faced and bleary-eyed. You better believe I'm living for the moment, but my moment. Better believe I'm living for the moment, but these moments. You better believe I'm living for the moment, but my moment's growing bigger by and by. By and by. By and by.
I am by. Thank you, folks. Everybody visit patriotwithpen.com and have a good evening. This is PJ Creamer, your host, signing out. May God save us all.